Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. I've done over 250 interviews on this channel. I've interviewed some of the biggest names in magic, but I'm telling you right now, probably the most inspirational story that you're going to ever hear is going to be on this interview. I'm talking to two people who have literally gone from holiday parks in the UK to headlining in Vegas. They are doing what every magician around the world wants to do, and two people who could not deserve it more. We're going to talk all about the magic. We're going to talk about the story. We're going to talk about the journey, and I know you guys are going to love this interview. I am, of course, talking about the one and only Matt Pomeroy and Natasha Lamb. Guys.
Hi, everyone. Hey, Bray.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
I'm excited. Thank you so much for waking up. And I know it's over in Vegas there at the moment. And you guys just told me it's like 118 degrees over there. Yeah.
So we hit the hottest day ever. Literal things are melting outside. So we're now inside consistently, but we're scared to venture out. It's like walking into an oven and then immediately realizing to come back inside. Very hot.
Gosh. It's a good job Vegas has good aircon, else you guys would be...
It's necessary.
We're here in the showroom now as we speak, and our aircon is on full blast. So it's chilly in here, which then makes it feel hotter outside. So maybe we've got it all wrong, but...
We've stocked up on the ice cream, though.
So loads.
Great.
Freezer backstage, full of ice cream.
That's all you need, a freezer backstage and you're good. That's awesome.
Plenty of ice.
Well, thank you for finding... I know you guys are busy. I know that you've got so much planned. You're doing so much. So thank you for finding the time to chat to me. I really appreciate it. And I'm super excited to talk to you because you're literally living the dream. I mean, we're going to talk about some of the stuff you're doing, some of the stuff you're going to be doing, some of the stuff you have planned. Like, let's be honest, anybody who gets into magic, anyone who buys that first magic set and dreams of being a magician, their goal is to headline Vegas. Their goal is to get a residency in Vegas. Their goal is to make it over to there. And that's what you guys are doing. I mean, do you sometimes have to pinch yourself and think, hang on a minute, is this real?
It's crazy. All the time. Yeah, I mean, we're very, very blessed and privileged and honored and grateful. And we walk on the strip and there's a bus that's wrapped with our face on it. And there's, I think, 150 taxis that we're on. And you kind of walk around Vegas and we see ourselves. And it really is a pinch me moment. We came here 3 years ago and prior to that on vacation. And we loved the shows. And we'd stand at the back and think one day, someday, maybe we could do 10 minutes in one of these shows.
Yeah.
And to be here now, every day I get goosebumps. Even now talking to you, it's a dream. And I know that's thrown around and used far too much, but it might not last forever. But whilst we're here and it's happening, I couldn't be more proud or blessed.
Yeah, we just have to enjoy it. And we didn't believe it until we got here. Even on the plane rides, we were like, is this really happening?
Yeah.
And I still get excited now when I see a taxi cab with our name and the show name on it. And I'm like, just send to my mum and dad. I get really excited.
Yeah, and like sometimes, so quite often a thing here is they'll do half and half on the taxi. So you'll be on one side and it will mirror somebody else. And just by complete chance, it's us and Lady Gaga. So that makes us even more excited. She's a big Gaga fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we signed the contract and I mean, I've never told this story to anybody, but we'd signed the contract to be in Vegas. We'd had all of the billboards made and the big posters and the flyers, etc. But we hadn't yet got our visas. So imagine the fear in our minds and the conversations that we had every day about what about if we don't get accepted? And the visa is like 400. It's ridiculous. It's huge and so detailed and in-depth. You have to go for meetings in the embassy. And we're on cruise ships doing this. We haven't got good internet. We're trying to get all these pictures and articles. And everything's agreed. Like the showroom's done. The time is here. The costumes are made. The props are ready. and we're standing in the queue at the embassy in London, and I was literally shaking, and the lady in front of us got denied. So she was told, you haven't got your visa, I'm really sorry, it's not going to happen for you. And maybe the most nerve-wracking 3 minutes of our life. And they said yes, and here we are. But what a gamble and what a worrying time.
And then as soon as we got the visa, we were like, last-minute flight to Vegas, let's go.
Yeah, it was a crazy year.
That's insane. Well, let's talk about your journey there, because obviously you're in Vegas now. This is currently where the journey has ended, but it's still going on, obviously. But it starts a long time ago. So let's talk about how you got to that showroom you're sitting in right now. And then I'm going to ask both of you, obviously, you're a double act. Obviously, you do the show together.
Yeah.
How did you both find magic and how did you find each other? What was the origin story for both of you? Maybe if you go first, Matt, then you go next.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What was your origin story? How did you get into magic?
Yeah, well, Satash and I are very much of the opinion and ethos that it's a complete double act. There's no magician and assistant. Tash does more magic than me and in the show. Mm-hmm. And all the danger, all the risk, there's no illusions in this current show, but we've done lots over the years. And all of the danger was Tash. And it's really important and prominent and profound, I think, for us that Tash is at the forefront of the magic, the spearhead of the show, if you will. So for me, I haven't known my dad forever. So my mum and I were always together and we'd go to Butlins because it's all we could afford, really. So we'd go to Butlins in Skegness once a year and it was the big holiday. Never went to abroad, but always Butlins. And I remember seeing the Redcoats. And I used to have a really severe stutter. Couldn't talk, couldn't say my own name. And it was really bad. And my name starts with a plosive, an M. So to say Matthew with a stutter is unbelievable. And I'd watch these Redcoats and entertainers on stage and think, wow, it feels like they're free. There's this thing where a spotlight hits and smoke fills the stage, that everything changes, that dynamic shifts, and you can be whoever you want to be. And they're always stuck in my head. And then when I was 17, I love theatre. So theatre's my passion, really. Musicals, plays, dramas. I love magic as well, of course, but I draw all my inspiration from theatre. And I thought I'd be a singer or a dancer because I noticed that when I sang, I didn't stutter at all. So I thought if I was in a musical, I could be on stage and sing, but I didn't have to talk. So I was in the Jersey Boys for a bit, clicking, singing Sherry and all that.
Wait, so he still sings to me sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. So I did that and I was in some other shows and I started to audition for bigger shows. And I noticed that I was definitely not good enough to be a professional full-time singer and nor was I good enough to be a full-time dancer. But what was never in the sort of middle bit was a speciality act. And I would always overhear these conversations of, well, we could put a juggler in that or in Barnum. What about having an aerialist or maybe in Pippin there could be a magician? And I thought, well, I love magic and I've always loved magic and maybe I could do an illusion, still haven't got to talk, and I could kind of find my own niche. And then I was at Butlins as a Redcoat and I would never host or talk on a microphone because I was scared to talk. And then the comedian didn't turn up one night, just wasn't there. There was 1,000 people in a room and I was just turned 18 and I was asked if I could go on stage. And I had routines. I'd been doing things with the other Redcoats and practicing and performing. I had a chair routine and a staple gun roulette and other bits. And I thought, let's give it a go. So I went on stage and noticed instantly with the power of performance and a microphone, the stutter went. And I felt free for the first time in such a long time and loved it, loved every moment of it. And some of the routines that I did then, I still do now. And it got a lovely response and a reaction. I cried backstage and knew that I wanted to dedicate my life to this. And that was the pivotal moment of everything for me. And I then toured everywhere. So I toured all the Butlins resorts at 18, I think. And then went to the Pontins and Warners and Havens. And that progressed the sense of Tories in Europe. And then we did a few other bits. And then fast forward maybe 7 or 8 years of me doing a different show every year. I set myself of the task and challenge of never duplicating a show. That gave me new material and new routines. Even now, our show next year will be different to this show. We are always improving and evolving, I hope. And then one night I was about to walk out on stage and I saw you. So how does you go up to there and then we'll go together?
I like what you did there. It's very clever.
Well,
for myself, I've always wanted to be a performer, but I never quite knew what I wanted to do. So I went to stage school every weekend. And I remember my dad's a bus driver in the northeast of England. So he would pay for my classes, like, not like anybody else would, just weekly, little by little. And I just loved him so much that he has arthritis. And I always wanted to cheer him up. And I think that's where my fire for performing came from, because I just always want to make him happy.
He's got very bad arthritis.
Yeah.
It's not like he can't bend his little finger. It's a full thing.
He can't walk.
Yeah.
And he was going through a lot of pain. And I thought, he does so much for me, you know, making me go to stage school and doing everything that I was happy doing, that I just want to cheer him up. So that started with dancing, and then I was singing. I went out and did my first professional contract in the south of France as a singer, and I was doing my own sets, which I loved. And then I went back to university, got a first class honors, BA honors in performing arts. And then I thought, I really want to be a radio presenter. And I went and worked for the BBC for a little time. And I realized I could be any age doing this. And then I really want to get on stage. So I applied for Butlins. And then I was part of their big cast shows, dancing, singing, presenting. And I loved it. And then I'll just cut the story short. That ended up with me performing with and for Stephen Mulhern and getting in and out of big boxes. And every show was different. And I just absolutely loved how the audience would react coming in and out of illusions. And I thought, this is super cool. I feel like a superhero right now. And I just knew from that moment on that I wanted to do magic. But as a kid, I saw a magician that put me off magic, to be completely honest. When I was like 7 years old, he really scared me. And I thought, oh, that's not cool. And it wasn't until I became a teenager that I started watching Dynamo and thinking, this is absolutely awesome. And then loved it ever since then.
And then, yeah, so one night, to catch up both stories.
Yeah.
I was about to go on stage at 10 o'clock. I was the mind-reading mystery act. Tash was doing Stephen's show. And I looked to my left and Tash was mid-costume change. And I remember going on stage and doing this prediction routine, and I couldn't remember any of the things, but I was just thinking about Tash mid-costume change. And then that night we were at a bar together and I kept sending cocktails, and that ended up at like 1 a.m, me saying, hey, you like magic?
Yeah.
Come to my hotel room and I'll show you a full magic show.
And it was awesome. I was
That's not even like a euphemism. Like, we literally did a full magic show. I had underscores and stories, did a gypsy balloon, loads of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you left. And I stalked you for a bit, and now it's 11 years later.
Yeah.
That is so romantic. That is fantastic. Wow. So we're going to carry on that story in a second, but what I found interesting that both of you were saying there is, when talking about getting into magic and talking about how you met, neither one of you talked about close-up magic, which is kind of interesting to me, because a lot of people that get into magic these days, it's all about the close-up magic, isn't it? And when I'm old, when I first got into magic, nobody cared about close-up. It was like, oh, you know, it was putting this stage act together and that stage act together. Right. You talked about performing on stage at the age of 18 doing magic, Matthew. Yeah. Was close-up something that you ever kind of wanted to do, or is it always been stage?
Yeah, so we have a little VIP package with this show now currently where people pay extra and they sit with me in a separate room and we get new decks of cards and coins and we do half an hour of close-up. And I've loved close-up forever. I think, to be honest, I've always been inspired by the Rat Pack and Tony Bennett, Paul Anka, those kind of performers who would sit in smoky showrooms and play with cards and sing and croon and go on stage and then come back to a card game. So there's this evocative thing with playing cards, and I'm never really happier than when I'm sitting down and jamming with cards. And I think the standard that we can perform close-up at is good, I think. And I've done a lot of close-up gigs. And I used to incorporate a live camera on stage. People would come and sit at the card table with me and we'd do stuff. And we know Chin now relatively well. And I used to open with his Dream Act. So I used to do that kind of stuff, a lot of manipulation. And I love close-up magic, really, really love it. But now it's, my favorite thing about it now is I don't do it often. So it's a special thing. You know far better than I do. We get asked all the time to do a trick, do magic. And I used to always say, just come to the show. So I want you to feel the moment. I want you to feel the theatricality. The magic is the kind of way to get to the story and the through line and the hook. it's all well and good me putting cards on the floor and then floats my hand. It's phenomenal and it looks beautiful, eye candy, but imagine if there was a reason and a meaning and a motive. And if the audience care, then this whole thing now is a miracle and it's not a moment. And I always thought with close-up magic, it was pretty and great, but I wanted the audience to care more. So now I get to say, look, come and sit with me in this own private room. And it's going to be an extension of the stage. Let's make theater at your table. And that was a very long-winded answer, but I love close-up. And I'm not just saying it because you're on this call with us, but one of my main inspirations for close-up, especially coins, is you. And I think you're maybe the best coin worker in the world today. Yeah. And yeah, I learned a hell of a lot from you over the years. And sitting down with cards, to me, is kind of pure magic. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing. And what advice would you, before we continue with the story, the question I get over and over again on this channel is, I do close-up, but I want to perform on stage. As somebody who both of you perform at the highest level on stage, what advice would you give somebody who's doing close-up magic, but they want to take that next step, they want to perform on stage? Is there advice? I mean, obviously, you've got a background in dance, Natasha. I mean, does that help? Because that way you know how to walk and move on stage rather than shuffle around.
Yeah, it all helps. I think just getting to know the stage, like I know tech as well. I love seeing that side of it. I think it's about understanding a theatre and the audience. Yeah. So if you're moving from close up to stage, maybe take some acting lessons, yeah. Maybe go to an improv class. Do all of these things that will make you feel more comfortable when you get on stage before performing magic. I think that would help.
Completely. Just real simple things like just keeping your feet planted, knowing where to stand on a stage.
Have to use the microphone.
Yeah, if you're a magician and you want a pen, just get a pen. Don't do this weird, if you need a microphone on a stand, just grab it and it should be there. If you see this world, so once you break the barrier of the audience to the stage, this is now magic. So anything that happens on this stage should feel like magic and nothing should interrupt that.
Mm-hmm.
So if, and that's not just tricks and methods, it's everything. Ums, ahs, remove them. Knowing how to pause on a stage and not speak, and the power of silence. We used to, not here because we have a big video and it's a different thing, but when we would do big theatres, we would walk out on stage and not speak, not one word, until the audience cheered. And then we'd still stay silent until they stood. Then we'd say, you can now sit down, let's begin the show. And it's just having the ability to find those beats and those moments. And I actually think, probably counterintuitively, most of the magic that we do isn't the trick. The trick's great, but you could teach 10 tricks right now to 10 people and they could go and do them, and that's fine and it's fun, but they have to care. And if they don't care, why are we doing this? So for me, it's all about, and the advice that I would give is, find something that you love. If you love gardening, talk about it. Get plants and care and be invested and know your subject. If you love magazines, well, put that into the show.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean do a full show about football. But if you love a football, incorporate it, because your passion will ooze through to the audience. Then they will care. It's like a domino effect. It ricochets. So, yeah, acting definitely. Dancing, I think, is good. Movement, just being free and fluid. And
also knowing how you want your lights to look.
Yes.
Knowing if you're having video screens, the soundtrack to your whole show, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, like an underscore. It's, everyone knows this, but watch a movie about the music. It's a completely different film. So just take a trick, and it can be somebody else's trick. Do any trick. Ambitious card, whatever. But then add a beat to it. Add a music. And then add some eerie music. Then add some hip-hop and some funk and some rap, whatever. And then you might hear the eerie music and go, oh, hang on a minute, this feels different. And it evokes a different emotion in you. And if you feel that and see it, they will too. And that's the other thing. Every day, the reveals have to feel like the first time. And I know this is such basic stuff and people know it, but if we're not fooled, nor will they be. It has to feel like we've never done, seen or experienced this. And I'll put moments in the show where I go, you know what, we're going to try it tonight for the first time. This might not work. And if it doesn't work, please don't film it. This could go wrong. Because it just breaks the monotony of they do it every night. It's easy. Yeah. Because if it's easy, it's not magic. And if it's not magic, they're not going to come.
Yeah, that's incredible advice. It really is. And another thing I want to ask about is what dealing with nerves. Like, it's the other thing that I get asked about on this channel an awful lot is how to deal with nerves, because there's one thing as a close-up magician going at a wedding up to four or five people and performing. Right. There's another thing walking out onto a stage in front of 1,000 people. I mean, it's a nerve-wracking experience. Do you guys still get nervous? And what advice would you give to somebody who is so worried and nervous, you know, they get that handshaking thing and it's stopping them from taking their magic to where they want to ultimately be?
This is a tricky one for me, because I actually get more nervous with a small, intimate group of people than I do a large theater, because I can just look at the spotlight and it's all good. Whereas an intimate crowd, you can see everyone and they're right there. But for me, I always think, look, we're not saving lives.
Yeah, right.
These are humans. They are people. They are our friends. It's all going to be okay. That's how I always think of it, to calm my nerves.
So let's circle back real quick. Remind me of what you just said.
Yes.
But looking up into the spotlight is great. But just to go back to the previous question, another bit of advice, which is super important and has helped me so much, is if you look stage left, middle, and stage right, and remember somebody. So find a trick. Tossed out deck's the common one, but find your own, whatever you want. We don't do tossed out deck, but it's a great trick to get three people involved and remember their names. So Gene, Paul, Marty, brilliant. And now you can just hook that section of the audience. So if stage left is being quiet or they're talking or getting a drink, go straight back to that person who you now know their name, and you've reinvigorated everybody. Sorry, just because you said about spotlight.
No, that makes sense,
Andy Nyman once said, turn nervousness into excitement.
I like
it's
that.
The same feeling. So if you're nervous, it's the same as being excited. Just switch it in your brain. I'm very blessed. Natash will vouch for this. I don't get nervous. So we did BGT many years ago. It never got shown for many, many reasons. We were there the day that Mark got the golden buzzer. And I made it up on the train on the way there.
Changed it all.
All of it. And I went and did 5 minutes, no scripts, just spoke and did it. And I wasn't nervous for a second. But I think it's because circling all the way back, this is my safe place. This is the place where I'm not worried. I'd be far more nervous if a car tire broke, or normal everyday life terrifies me. But this, we're safe. They're here to see wonder and astonishment and amazement, and we're so blessed to provide that. And I think if you are nervous backstage, just remember, and Tash used to always say to me, she'd peer out the curtain and say, that person there, the youngest person, they've probably never seen magic ever before. And that oldest person on row Z, they might never see magic ever again. So it's your job right now to be the best you can be, and the best you can be is not nervous. Just go and do it. And I also think it ties in with having stuff that you care about and you love. If you walk out and you talk about Pavarotti and you know nothing about him, but you just think it's a good premise, you're going to be nervous. But if you go and talk about England in the Euro finals and you love it, then you're going to be excited. And excitement is better than nerves.
Yeah, just being fully prepared too, because I think I have felt nervous before when you're not ready for the show. So I think just being fully rehearsed, prepared, and exactly what you said, knowing what you're going to say.
There's this thing that we've done before, and I learned from my mistake. So hopefully one person that listens to this will not do the mistake that I did. We got booked to do a super big theater, and it was 2,500 people, and we sold it out, and I was very excited, and I added loads of new routines, because I had this misconception and this weird thought of it has to be the best, and I have to have a helicopter and an A-frame and a fan, and there has to be whatever. Crazy things. And we weren't prepared. And we sat there in rehearsals, and I was doing stuff for the first time, but really technical methods and catches, etc., that I'd never done. And the show was fine, but it wasn't our best. And it wasn't our best because I tried to imagine and envision what the magicians would want. Like, let's make the best magic show. But let's just make the best show. They don't know. And if you're the best in the world at a three-fly routine, do it, but make it amazing and meaningful, and they'll cry and care and laugh and whoop. And at the end of the day, that's our job.
That's perfect. That is, yes, the best advice I've ever heard. That's brilliant. So let's just circle back for a minute, and let's just go back to the point where 11, 12 years ago, you guys have met, thanks to Stephen Wilhern, You guys have become a couple. Wonderful. You were both working at Butlin's at that point. What happened? Because let's be honest, there's a lot. I was a red coat at Butlin's for a couple of years. The thing with being a red, most people that go and be red coats or go work at Butlin's, they have a desire to have a gig in entertainment. But how do you go from meeting each other at Butlin's to sitting on your own stage in Las Vegas? Was it by design? Did you say to each other, right, okay, you know what? We're going to get to Vegas one day. And if that's the case, how did you action that plan? Or is it, I'm guessing that, like, you wouldn't have done BGT if you didn't want to raise your profile. But, like, obviously every journey has highs and lows. How did you get from meeting there to where you are right now?
So, big question.
Yeah, I'm awful at short media, and I wish I was better at it. I would love to have done a Got Talent kind of show, but I so struggle with 3 minutes. When you see our show, and please everyone come and watch it, we're so story-based, and I link and circle and foreshadow things back, and they culminate and come together, and I struggle to make short-form tricks. TikTok is not my thing. I can't do it. It doesn't work in my head. I have to have a narrative. So how we got there is I never allowed myself to believe and or dream we could be here doing this. It was never on the cards. But so weirdly, 3 years ago, we sat in my grandma's house and we both wrote down a dream and we put it in an envelope and we opened it at the start of this year. And it was three dreams. One was a house and engagement. And the third one for both of us was Vegas. And we just never stopped. And I know that sounds, everybody works consistently, but this consumes my life. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. My grandma's 91 years old. She's my favorite person in the world. I won't see her at all this year. On cruise ships, you don't talk to your family very often because of the Wi-Fi. You don't see anybody.
We miss out on so many family things.
Yeah, and that's the same for every performer and entertainer. But I've, as host Tash, sacrificed everything. And sometimes to the detriment of family and friends and relationships and everything, because 4 a.m. every night, I'm reading Tarbell or books. And this is an all-consuming thing, which I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know if it's a right way of passage, but it's been like that forever. I can't think about anything other than theater and magic and music and beats and stories. And that ruins going to watch theater because I see all the things that I go, oh, whatever. So we did loads of cruise ships and loads of them. So Butlin's transitioned into doing Europe. So we did Europe a lot. All of the holiday parks that aren't there anymore, I don't think, Centauri's and TUI's and Virgin's. And that gave us amphitheaters of 1,000 people, but in a suitcase. So we couldn't take illusions. So we had to be more theatrical. And that was great. And that transitioned to cruise ships. And one day we had the notion and the idea of maybe don't book us for a week, book us for 3 months. And we went into all these pitch meetings with P&O and everybody and said, look, all these magicians are coming on for a week and that's great. It's fine. But imagine if you had us for 12 weeks, I can bring more stuff. You get to know us. Your tech team are comfortable. The show's better for everyone. And they went with it. And that ended up with us launching 3 P&O ships. And then that transitioned to other companies. I think this is correct. We've launched more ships than anyone else in history, I think. I think that's correct. Both Magica.
Yeah.
And then from there, we'd always come to Vegas. And we'd do the Chicago Magic Lounge and the castle and everywhere. And we came to Vegas one night and did late night magic with Doug and Lefty.
Bizarro.
And it's phenomenal. And we love it. And still now we go and watch it all the time. And Colin came to watch Cloud and many others. And we did 10 minutes. And nobody sees our material because we're very picky. Probably, again, not good, not clever. But we don't really poster. People come in, like Chris Oberle just texted us 10 minutes ago saying it's his new favorite show in Vegas. And lovely things. But it's because nobody knows what to expect or what to see. So you come in and you go, where have these been? What? And Anthony Owen once said to me, we're the best kept secret in magic. And I loved that for so long. So we came to Vegas, did 10 minutes, all new stuff. And it got a lovely reaction. And then we knocked on every door and tried to kick down every barrier that we could. And it was difficult and problematic and troublesome.
And it feels like a big step now, but throughout that time, we've been nonstop. It's been little baby steps every single day, making progress to get here. There's not been a time where we haven't stopped. Even if we were on vacation, we are always thinking of, what how can we improve? What can we do?
I don't know if that's good. I don't know if this is wise advice or not, but it's just how we've always operated. And I think because we both think the same, we can literally be at the Magic Castle in Disney and Tasha will be like, that music. Then we'll go back to the hotel and write a routine. And I didn't think Vegas would happen, but we've always been on this trajectory of really anything is possible.
Yeah.
And we believe that. We did Radio City Music Hall and other places, and we didn't plan for that, but we didn't stop until we got in that conversation.
Yeah. Nightly, we are telling our audience, you know, anything is possible. And you have to believe that yourself and make that come true for you, because otherwise, why are you telling your audience to believe that?
Yeah, and this sounds all very positive, and this is our dream. But there's been many setbacks and many knockbacks. Yeah. And many things that have gone wrong, and many, many nights upset in a theatre. I could give you an hour of horror stories that have happened. I tore my tear duct off on stage, ripped it off. Like, loads of things have happened, but we never missed a show, ever. And we've always tried to be unique. And unique to us. Not unique to what I think the magic world will like, unique to what I think the world will like. And somehow it all kind of coalesced and happened, and now we're on, I don't know, 400 five-star reviews, and it's worked. Fingers crossed.
Wow.
Hopefully.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it shows that hard work pays off, and it you can see how hard that you guys have worked at this, because honestly, a lot of people would have settled. A lot of people would have said, hey, we've launched more ships than anyone else. We're getting to regularly perform at the Magic Castle. We're getting ready to perform at the Chicago Magic Lounge. You know, all of these, but that would be enough for a lot of people. But the fact that you've kind of got there and you've gone, right, okay, this isn't bad, but this is what we want to do. I mean, that takes a special type of dedication to be able to do that.
Well, thank you. And we were kind of sad, it's not the right word, but the one thing that we all always missed out on is the magic community and fraternity. Because we were always, since 17, on the road. We do 400 shows a year. We just wouldn't stop. Cantos, three a day, etc. And I really missed the no one knew us. And it was starting to weigh on my shoulders that we were doing these things and all going well. And we were never in the conversation. So when these things would happen, it would be 10 magicians that have done this or this. It was never the conjurers. And the best thing about being in Vegas, more than the show or equal to the show, is now our peers have seen us. And even now it makes me feel emotional. Like, it means the world to me that people like Copperfield and Chris and whoever have sat and seen this, and now we are in the conversation. And I think that to me is almost more important than having this showroom and having this show. I'm very proud and very privileged, and we are blessed. But to have people that we have respected and admired, even this with you today,
it
means a lot, because you're someone, when the first Wizard Product Review happened, I was there every week, every Wednesday, and I loved it. And I learned from you and respect you. And this, we walked out the other day and Kevin James was in the front row, and people that we love.
We admire so much.
It just means the world. It really means the world to us.
And you can see how much you both love magic and how much you both love performing as well. I mean, you could just tell that just comes across just in how you're speaking and what you're saying. You know, if I had to sum this whole interview up to this point, it's passion. I can tell you're passionate, so passionate. You know, that's amazing.
I just love it. And I'm not sure I could do anything else. I don't think there's anything I can do. So it's not like a big-headed or an overconfident thing. It's, this is all I know. Really all I know. I don't know how well I would transition to other things. And I truly love it. Truly love it. And I stand on stage every day. I tell a story that links into this big gypsy balloon routine that we do. And I get emotional each day. And it's not like a fake, trying to be theatrical thing. It's just, this is a snapshot of time right now. And I know how fleeting things can be and how things can change and transition. And this might not be here in a year. I hope it is. I really truly do. But if it's not, just to live in the moment and be present and not to worry about this and that and the other thing. The stage gives me and us that. We're here right now, live with the audience, and they're here with us, and it will never happen again and let's just make it special.
Yeah, and we're grateful for every single show. We've always been like that.
Yeah.
On cruise ships, we would do 2-3 shows a week, and we would have an itch. We're like, we want
a night.
A night, but yeah. Then you would only do 2 days a week, but we would have the itch to perform more shows.
Yeah.
So being here, every time before we go on stage, no matter who's in the audience, we just say how grateful we are to be here.
Yeah, and that's good advice. Just perform. We've done gigs for 10 people. We've done rooms that have got a pool table in the middle or a caravan, or it doesn't matter. It hasn't got to be this glamorous, prestigious showroom or theatre. Just perform.
Yeah.
We was as happy, or maybe not as happy, but we were very happy performing at places that had 20 people. And we once did a gig. Well, let me tell you this story. We did a gig in a pub not long ago, 4 years ago maybe, and the roof fell down in the middle of the pub. There was a flood. We had all of our illusions and stuff, and the water came in, and we still did the show. And we're doing Sands of the Desert, but now in the water that's fallen from the roof. And I think it hasn't got to be a Vegas showroom. It hasn't got to be the London Palladium. Just find 5 people in a local club or a pub or a bar or even a school and just do what you love and be passionate, and it will come through. And even sitting with one person and doing magic for 10 minutes, they literally could remember that for the rest of their life. And that gift that we have to give, how more blessed could we be? It's
pretty special.
Yeah.
Really is. It really, really is. And that's, wow, that's absolutely amazing. I want to ask you a question about your act, because you've mentioned many, many times illusions and doing an illusion act. I find that a lot of performers kind of try to pigeonhole themselves into something like, I'm an illusion act, I'm a mentalist, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. You seem to have a very eclectic range of what you do. So, you've talked about having different shows. How many shows do you have, and what made you decide to come to a country? Well, let's be honest, Vegas is iconic with big illusions.
Yep.
And even though you have all those big illusions, you went, no, we're going to strip things back. Like, what that process?
Well, we've done a different show every year for the last 10 years together. They're normally 90 minutes each. Now, they used to be an hour at the holiday parks, but cruise ships, they let us do a full 90. So that's, I don't know, I can't do the maths quick enough, but what's that? 15 hours of magic, all mm-hmm. different routines. And then we've probably got, we do a close-up show called The Conjurer's Table. There's been 3 incarnations of that. That's 2 hours long. So I reckon we've probably got 20 hours of routines and stuff that's just, we've worked a lot.
It's a lot. I think 20 different theatre shows probably.
Yeah. What was the question, Craig? I'm so sorry.
What made you decide to not bring an illusion act to Vegas? Because obviously, when you think Vegas, you think illusions, right?
The Conjurers, because we wanted to do a bit of everything. We wanted to have that ability.
Very deliberate branding. So a spooky cabin with candle lights and a rocking chair and a spirit cabinet and a bell that rings itself is my dream. That's my happy place. I love dark, weird, edgy, eerie stuff. But I also love the theatricality of illusions with smoke and dry ice and singers, and love that. But we used to come to Vegas all the time, as mentioned, and we'd go and see everybody. We can't compete.
No,
we just can't compete.
The best illusionists in the world here.
Yes. If you go and see Nathan Burton's show, there's 40 illusions in the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unbelievable. Then you transition that to Chris and to David and to everybody else. And I've missed people for sure, but everybody. We can't compete. But the one thing that I noticed nobody did, or not to the level I hope that we do, is tell stories and get the audience to lean forward in their chair. And we do tricks, of course. We do loads of, I think there's 14 effects in the show, but none of them are random. There's no ta-da's or moments for the sake of moments. And we really tried to find a show that would change every night. We get, I think, 10 people on stage for different routines in this show, and we learn about them and their stories, and that will influence and impact the show itself. So this show changes every night for real. Like, it's not a scripted thing. It will just change. And it does happen that things go off into weird areas, but we love it. So I think we found a niche on purpose and through lots of thought and brainstorming. of, well, what does Frederick do? What does whoever do? And what can we do that you can't find anywhere else? How are we different from the clairvoyants? How are we different from Chris and the illusions? What's our spot?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make that sing to the best of our abilities? I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
We do, we mix magic with mentalism.
Oh yeah.
And I think we are the only male and female double act here in Vegas, both doing magic.
Yeah, so we were told the other day that we did a radio interview and they said we're the first ever UK duo to ever have a Vegas show, and that's great. And we play into that. So we have London and phone boxes and things ring and we talk, and we are very English British, and that helps us because we're different. But also our choice of material. We would never do, and I love it, it's a phenomenal effect, but we wouldn't do a master prediction system because it's been seen. And if it's been seen, therefore, to me, it's not magic. If you go and see another show in Vegas and there's a snowstorm, and then we do a snowstorm, well, it's now a trick. It's not a moment. So we've really worked hard. We kind of cherry-picked our favorite routines from a decade.
Yeah, but we were very careful with making sure that there was nothing in the show that was in any other show here.
Yes, we watched
made sure of that.
Every show, and we do a blindfold routine, but it's because I legitimately tore my tear duct off. We tell that story, and we asked Jerry, and we asked Banachek, and we had these conversations, and ours is so far removed that it's fine, and we asked permission first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important as well, to be respectful.
Yeah.
They've been here longer than we have. We're the new show in town, and they're our peers, and we have to look up and respect and admire them. But since being here, people have come up to us. Like, we do a spirit cabinet in the show, and it's my favorite moment. And Banachek came up to us and was like, well, let me give you a few bits, a few little moments. And the show gets stronger every day. And yeah, so that's why we're the Conjurers, because it's everything. There are no cards in the show. I have no issue with that. I'd do anything. If it fits the story, we'll put the magic into it.
Depends on the theme. And our show right now is all about stories.
Yeah, we just want to create wonder. And if it's a playing card or a helicopter, whatever gets us to that point of astonishment, we'll happily do.
That's great. That's fantastic. So anybody who's watching this, what we're talking about here is creating a niche, finding something that makes you stand out. And let's be honest, a very crowded marketplace. When you think of Vegas, you think of magic. There's so many different magic tracks there. And you've been very successful at building a show where you've stood out in a busy environment.
Yeah.
For people watching this that are kind of going, okay, that makes sense. How do I stand out myself? What advice would you give somebody else for going do that through that same process?
Be yourself. Nobody else can duplicate you.
Yes.
And that's what we kept saying this whole time. It doesn't matter if somebody took the whole recording of our show and tried to do it. They're not us. It's not going to be the same because you're yourself on stage.
Yeah, and be unapologetically yourself as well.
Yeah.
Just do what makes you happy, and I think it either will work or it won't. And it is a bit of a gamble. But if the gamble pays off, then it pays off huge. And so Aaron Crowe's become a really good friend of ours, and we love him. And he's different. And he's different because he chose to be. Now, Aaron's phenomenal at nearly every genre of magic. But he decided to not talk and wear eyeliner and do his cheeks and be the brand. And he's got five world-class routines, probably more, but five that I've seen. And he could do them anywhere, but it's just because he said one day, this is what I'm going to do. And it might not work. Tape Face, away from magic. Tape Face one day said, look, I'm going to put tape on my face and hope for the best. Piff might not have worked, but it did. And it's because they had the bravery to try. And I'm not saying necessarily become a character or be somebody else who you're not, but just find what you love. If you love walking on stilts, why not be the first stilt walking magician? Well, like, there's no limitations.
I would book a ticket to see that.
Let's do it tonight.
So yeah, would I, definitely.
But, like, but sometimes I think we can read a magic book and it's very this way, that way, black, white, A to Z, do this. But we only get one life, only one time around, only one go. So just risk it. Why not? What is there to lose? And we've definitely risked it and lost lots of times. If you watch old videos of me with eyeliner and spiky hair, it's very different to what it is now.
He had blonde highlights too.
I did.
Wow. But very, very brave.
But you just try things. and maybe they won't work. Maybe they don't. If you think about an author, authors sometimes publish 15 books before a hit. And we're kind of the same. Your first song doesn't have to be the smash hit, but as long as you're singing it, somebody might notice. So just be you. Just talk about what you want to do. If you love animals, find a way. Just, you haven't got to be the act that you see on telly. And it really bothers me when people carbon copy other acts. Just don't. In my opinion, and I could be wrong, so just don't shoot the messenger, but it's very, very easy to watch an incredible routine of somebody perform it, even on a magic trailer, even a trick that's being sold. You can watch it and go, love that, and then do it. But don't just do it. Why not think about it and work out how you could do it to make it different for you? And once you start doing that, even aside from the magic, the lights, the music, the beats, the costumes, then you become a brand. Mm-hmm. And the brand is what sells, not the magic, in my opinion.
That's great advice. That is phenomenal advice. This is an amazing... You guys are one of my favorite people that I've ever interviewed. I want to talk about one more thing that you've touched on a few times, which is the two of you are a double act, which is fantastic. Now, there's very few double acts in magic. I mean, you don't see many at all. Obviously, there's less now. Morgan and West have just parted ways.
Morgan and West.
I know. I was so gutted when I found out they were no longer together. What advice would you give? Because I'm going off questions I get on this channel a lot. One question I get an awful lot is, hey, me and my mate want to do a show together. How do we form a double act? Because I don't know if you know Griffin and Jones. I was speaking to Griffin and Jones about this a little while ago. And they said that their pet hate is when you have a double act and it's like one person does one trick. And then the other person comes in and does one trick. And then the other person comes in. They were like, if you're going to be a double act, be a double act. And I'd love to know from somebody who's, you know, you guys are two of the most successful performers in the world right now. What advice would you give somebody who wants to set up a double act? And, you know, are there any things they should do or shouldn't do? Like famously Penn and Teller say that they don't get on outside, you know, they don't really communicate outside of being on stage. You know, we've heard all these stories. From your point of view, it's obviously a little different because you guys are a couple as well as performing on stage. So you're with each other 24/7. Does that make it a little bit more difficult? I'd love to know your thoughts.
I think you really do have to have that relationship to, you know, have gaps in between the script or the show or the routine and just be yourselves. It's tricky. It's built over time, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And now we are very fast script, but it's not even really scripted. We are, Tash will end my sentences and we'll talk at the same time. And like,
it's been on the same path.
When I say talk at the same time, let me just clarify, because it sounds like over each other. What I meant is we'll do, and today's date is together, the same words, not overlapping.
Uh-huh.
But we live, eat, breathe, sleep together every day. Like we have this thing where we know each other so well.
We really do.
And you haven't got to be in a relationship, obviously, but you have to, trust is the most important thing, I think, in anything. And I know, because I stood and watched her do it for 10 years. So when Tash is on stage on her own, and we do individual routines, we do one trick each in every show that's me, and then one show that's Tash. Because I want us to...
everything else is together.
Everything else is together, yeah. But I want us to show that we can both perform individually. And there's a moment where I'll go back to the box, I'll run back, and I'll stand and watch Tash every night. And Tash gets the first stand of the show, not me, it's Tash. And I think if you're going to perform with somebody, there is no hierarchy. There is no, I've done this and you don't know that. That's not how it works.
It has to be so balanced, I think, for a double act to work.
Yes, and you don't have to be the same person either.
No.
Ash doesn't really do that much card stuff. But she's, in my opinion, one of the best females around any illusion in the world. Tash is unbelievably good. And you're phenomenal on stage normally, but like, we have our strengths, so play into them and work together. It's not what I want a routine to be, it's what we want a routine to be. And it has to be this constant collaboration. And there will be times where you don't get on.
Oh, you were butt heads.
And you have to do 12-hour drives from Skegness to Bognor to Minehead, and things aren't going good. But
nobody died. It's okay. That's yes. what we always think. It's fine.
And you just have to find the things that you love together, on and off stage. Now, I struggle with that hugely, because every conversation that we have will circle back to the show.
Yeah.
And that's a negative from my point of view. If we could watch a movie to have like a date night, halfway through, I'm going to be like, oh, Tash, there's a train in that, and we could, whatever. It always goes back to the show. But we're very similar, so it works for us. So just find, you're going to put a lot of time, energy, money, investment
yeah.
into this person. So it has to be a worthwhile investment. It has to be a worthwhile thing. So I'd really think it through. Know what you're both goals are.
Yeah,
because maybe, and it's worth talking about, and it sounds so stupid, but maybe in 3 years, in your head, you envision that you're going to be on cruise ships and you're going to be doing three lots of 2,000 people every night. But that other person might hate the idea of living in a cabin and eating from a buffet every, all those things. But if you don't talk about it till year three, well, then you've got a roadblock. So communication, conversation, and trust for any double act. But also, just both perform. It might, again, just me, if you want to be on the poster, person X, you both have to bring person X. It can't be 70-30, has to be 50-50 at all times. And you both have to pull your weight and be as inspirational and inspired. And yeah, I think just trust and respect will get you a long way.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant advice. I want to ask you one more question, and then I want to talk about where you are right now and how people can see you, because that's important. But one last question. You've mentioned several times during this interview about telling stories, and one thing that really helps you stand out as an actor is telling stories. And I'd love you to talk more about that. You know, that's something that's missing from a lot of acts these days. And one of my favorite performers of all time is Eugene Berger. I could sit there for hours and listen to that man's hypnotic voice, and just like it was amazing. So, and I'm not that great a storyteller, to be honest. As somebody, or as two people who really kind of focus on telling stories in their show, is there any advice that you can give on trying to incorporate that, and how, you know, people watching sure. this, you know, trying?
Yeah. So for me, I didn't have to be stories either. So music is as powerful, if not more powerful, than a story. If you watch Teller, and we go and watch often just to see the miser's dream,
oh,
and there's not nice. There's not one word, and like the shadows, that stories are just our way of
having a theatrical art. We're both very theatrical.
Yeah. And I mean, stories are my ends to a mean. They're kind of the way that I've just always found the best way for us to perform. But with that said, we do routines that have no stories, and we do routines that have no long builds. In fact, in this show, there's only two stories, really, maybe three. But everything else makes sense, and it will link to a story, or it will relate to something that's happened before. So it all, a theatrical arc is really important, and a good through line.
Mm-hmm.
It's oversaid and overused, but a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that sounds really weird, but I've seen a lot of shows where the best bit is at the start. And I know always put your best foot forward and do your strongest stuff, but there has to be somewhere to go. And once you know the end, then you can work towards it and add little bits that will, all that stuff. But I just think find what you're comfortable with. So for me, I've always just loved theatre, and I'm as happy watching a musical or a play. In fact, that's what I do most of the time. I watch far more musicals than I do magic lectures. I kind of live in a space of a theatre. But that doesn't mean that that's right for everybody. There is such a power in not talking. Aaron Crowe is another perfect example. Like, he doesn't talk, and it's breathtaking. It's beautiful. I couldn't do what he does, and I wish that I could. It's so stunning. Rob Zabrecki, somebody else who's just, they're so in the moment. And if stories don't come well from your mouth, find what does.
Just make the magic real, I guess.
Here's the thing. Dave Gorman, great comedian. Dave Gorman used to do a show called Google Whack Adventures. And Google it. It's on YouTube. And he would have like a pointer and he'd be on the screen behind and he'd be doing stuff. I've never seen that in Magic. Imagine that you're in an amusement park and there's arcades around you. And now every arcade, you pick the grabber up and there's a trick inside and you're going to perform it. Like, there's a thousand things, millions of things that have never been on a stage. And I think far more important than finding the story or the beat or the music is the theme and the premise. Why not put sand all over your stage? And as the audience walk in, you're sunbathing. And there's an umbrella above you. And then the umbrella lifts up and you float and you're now standing up. And just, it doesn't have to be a story. And what we're saying doesn't even necessarily work for you. But if you can just find something that aesthetically looks different, imagine that you're taking Polaroid photos of your show. What stands out? Like, if I'm standing there with a bowling ball, I love it. Great trick. Amazing. Kevin, like, phenomenal. But is it different? Could it be a pineapple? Could it be a planet? Does it have to be a flip chart? Could it be a briefcase? Could you, and Morgan and West are incredible at this. They change things to make them suit. If you look at Morgan and West bottles, it kind of synopsizes.
I like
not that. A real word.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you look at, that's a Ricky Gervais thing. If you look at Morgan and West do the bottles, they've taken a premise and made it fit them perfectly, play to a big stage and work for their act. Mm. And I guess kind of the overlining point that I am way too long trying to explain is just find stuff that fits you, but make it look different, make it feel different, make it feel like it's come from your mind. And then I think that's where success begins.
Wow. I honestly think that this is my favorite interview that I've ever done. Like, you guys are giving so freely of such incredible advice. This is a masterclass. It really is. And I want to talk about where people can see you as well, because here's the thing. We've talked about how you're headlining in Vegas. You're actually at the Orleans, right? That's where you are. Is. Yeah,
so all the Magic Live people come and watch, come and see.
Now that Magic Live will be in our Cavern of Wonders in Las Vegas.
That's great, and that's what I wanted to say, because obviously Magic Live is coming up very, very soon. It's running from the 4th of August. Hundreds of magicians from all over the world, thousands of magicians are coming to Vegas. Yeah. And they are going to be predominantly staying in the same hotel that you are performing in. There has never been a better time to come and watch The Conjurers than right now. If you are in Vegas and you are here for Magic Live, you would be insane not to come and watch your show.
Yeah, so, well, thank you. I appreciate that. We'll give you a little discount code as well. We can put in the chat. So you can get discounted tickets for magicians. But we're super excited just to be at a convention and meet other people. And
I've heard so much good stuff about Magic Live. I'm super excited.
If you need to come to us, we'll probably be at the bar.
Oh, yeah. I'll be at the coffee shop, though, definitely. Yeah.
And this is like a little exclusive. And I kind of hesitated about saying it. But this is the first incarnation of this show. There are many exciting conversations and there are many... This... hopefully has a very nice trajectory and evolution here in Vegas. So if you come to the show at Magic Live, you are seeing for real the first show, the first thing we've ever done on a Vegas stage. And that doesn't mean the last thing by any means. So in 2 or 3 years, maybe you might say, oh, wow, we saw them in a 100-seat beautiful cabin. And the future hopefully is exciting. And it's fun that you get to see us here first. We'll never get this close to The Conjurers ever again, I don't think.
We love a chat. So we'll be chatting.
We love a chat. Come and see us at the meet and greet. We'll do photos. We'll do a little VIP thing after if you want to see it. I mean, you've probably seen the effects, but it's fun. And then we're around.
Yeah.
We'll go for dinner. We'll go to the bar. We'll go bowling if you want. The cinema's up there. Let us know we're around.
Yeah. And the show's at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. Don't be late because it's annoying.
Amazing. That's so cool. I mean, wow. Yes. All in. I'm going to put the link down in the description so that people can get tickets. It must be especially exciting for you as well, because we've talked about how busy you are. You've kind of put your relationship with the magic community on hold a little bit. One of the, in so far as a lot of magicians, their favorite thing about being a magician is going to conventions. You know, so many magicians talk about, oh, Blackpool is magic Christmas for magicians.
Yeah.
You're busy working. You've been busy for the last 11 years while everyone else is going to conventions and like hanging out and sessioning till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I've never been to Blackpool.
Or a boat or somewhere just running around performing. Like, so yeah.
This is Blackpool, our busiest time. So when Blackpool happens, obviously the magicians of the world congregate. We've never been to a Blackpool because we normally do some theatres over that time. I've been to the session a couple of times. That's kind of it. And it's the most exciting thing is to meet fellow magicians. And it really doesn't matter if you're a hobbyist, amateur, who knows a French drop. We want to be your friends. We'll sit with you till 3 a.m. and we'll dissect routines. We're open and happy to help. We've never done a masterclass or a lecture, but we'd love to. And we have the material, I think, to do that. But look, we're not a closed book, and we're not this thing that you can't come and talk to. Just if you're working on a show, if you've got a show in mind and you want to transition from a small theater to a big one, come and grab us. We'll go for a coffee and we'll help you. If you've got a finale to a routine that you're brainstorming, we'll sit with you.
Yeah, we're going to be here.
Of course, you can come on this stage and we're around. Yeah. Contact us. We're easy to get hold of.
Yeah.
Instagram. And we'll happily help.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. I mean, what you guys are just so nice. You really are just so nice. And can we talk for a second just about the stuff that you've got planned coming up? Because you mentioned, I don't know what I'm allowed to say, what I'm not allowed to say, but obviously you mentioned earlier on about other things that are happening in America. Like,
yeah.
We talked earlier on about how you guys are so ambitious. Like, most people are going, right, okay, I was a red coat at Butlins. Now I'm headlining in Vegas. I think I'm done. I can put my feet up and relax now. But you guys are planning phase 2, phase 3, phase 4. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So I'm writing a book, which is way away from magic. So I spend a lot of time in my laptop writing a completely off magic topic, but I spend a lot of time lost in a world of the story. We are doing the Magic Castle. That's coming up.
We're excited to do that.
We go out with Matt King. So Matt's doing the night before us, and then we're doing a week, I think, in the theatre. There, we have a theatre tour of America. It's all being announced right now. We've not told anyone this. So theatre tour in America in February. We're going to, I think, 26 different states.
One of the first things we said is we want to explore the world. And the next thing we have is just ticking off the states in America. So this is...
Too. I've never had a time or a place or a point in my life where I've not been, what's next? What's next? Apart from now. And now I feel for the very first time, almost like a weight lifted. And it's, I love it here. And I want to be here. And I couldn't love it more, I don't think. I get excited every day to be here. And I want to be here for a very long time.
It feels like home.
Gonna get a house and a car and do all those things. And it's kind of now become, how can we bolster this? How we're here now. And that was the biggest hurdle and jump of our lives, I think. So how can we now elevate and evolve? And look, there's the other side of that as well, where we might not be here. It doesn't work out for everyone, but we did it. And if we're not here, we did some shows in New York and there's other things that we'll go and do. But as long as we're together, and sharing wonder and hopefully inspiring people and helping as well, we'll be very happy. And yeah, this means the world to us.
It really does.
I can tell. And that's amazing. I want to ask you one question. You guys are obviously, I mean, at the peak of your career. Well, I don't want to say the peak because I can see it just going bigger and bigger and bigger. But I mean, you guys are doing amazing. Is there going to be a time where you go, okay, we've been going at 1,000 miles an hour for X amount of years now. Let's just slow down a little bit and let's just kind of maybe take your foot off you. Like I was I actually interviewed last week. That, do you know Amethyst?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Danny and Steph.
Hi, Danny and Steph.
Yeah, so I did an interview with Steph the other day. And obviously she's traveled with Danny around the world, you know, she's done everything and then some. And now they've got a little boy and they're kind of like, they're still going out and performing all the time. But right. She was like, you know, we've got to take that into consideration with everything else that we're doing. Do you ever talk about like taking your foot off the gas a little bit? Or is that like a conversation another day and now it's 1,000 miles an hour?
I mean, we've never spoken about this out loud, but one of the first conversations that we had before we got engaged. So we got engaged 6 years ago and we sat down, had a big dinner, and the kids, no kids thing was on the table. And we both decided that the career comes first. And there won't be...
This is our lives. Like, this is what we love doing.
We have one day off a week. The show's dark on a Wednesday. And I miss being on stage. Sometimes we come in and just go over new routines and go over new things. We, on our day off, will go and watch 3 shows. There is nowhere in the world I would rather be than a theatre. And it hasn't got to be magic. Just anything. To sit and watch the lights drop and the curtain lift and to be lost in that world for 2 hours, it's all I've ever wanted. It's all I've ever known. And it's all I've ever wanted to do. So for as long as, I don't want to talk for both of us, but as long as I'm able to and I can, I'll be on a stage. And that stage could be a pub. It could be, I don't know, it could be in my house. But there'll be somewhere, it could be Zooms, I don't know. But as long as I have words that I can say and things that I can perform, I would never want to do anything else. And your answer? I don't know, you might go, I want kids. No, that's true. You said
we always say we want to explore the world and we always put our performance first. We always have done.
Yeah, and I'm super close to my family, as is Tash.
Yeah.
Really, really, really close. And on New Year's Eve, I always fly back. So we could be on a cruise ship or wherever we are. Mm-hmm. I always fly back and I hold my grandma's hand and we watch the fireworks at the Thames together. And this is the first year that I won't do that. And there are definite things that I miss. I really miss being with family.
Trees and greenery.
Yeah. And this sounds like we've kind of made this, and it is incredible, but it's 119 degrees and there's a lot of things to negotiate and to navigate and to get used to, and it's a whole new life, and banks are different. Transferring money from an American bank to an English bank is impossible. There's a million things. But I will give every single beat of energy, every moment that I have, to be the best that I can be on a stage. Always been that way. And I might never be as good as the next person, but I promise I'll always try and be as good as we can be and I can be. And to answer the question, this is kind of us.
That's as long as you're happy doing what you're doing, if it ever got to a point where we were not happy, then of course we would make ourselves happy again. But yeah,
of course.
Just happy doing what
we're
doing.
But we didn't ever have this thing where if we were performing in a church hall, we still loved it. If we were doing shows in a library or a kid's show or a birthday party, I've not done birthday parties in a very long time, but when I did them, I loved them. It hasn't got to be this. It hasn't got to be light and rigs and smoke and screens. It can just be you and one person and a story or a routine or some music or whatever. And you might change their life. And that sounds super dramatic, but we've done things for people that can't speak or can't see or can't walk or can't talk. And magic has this ability to break every barrier and every boundary. We, as magicians together collectively, can create memories and moments that can play and replay in people's minds forever. Like when you meet a celebrity and you tell people for all of your life, oh, I bumped into person X. Well, with a card move, we've just given them that moment. And it's the greatest gift to me. And yeah, I'll always be doing this.
That's great. I want to ask you one more question before we wrap this up, which is, would you guys ever consider doing lectures? Because honestly, this interview has been the most inspiring thing I've ever seen. Like, you've got so much knowledge, you've got so much to give, both of you. Would you consider ever, as part of your ongoing domination of magic, like like do a lecture tour or something? Or
yeah, that would be be super fun. We would love that.
We direct a lot for other people.
Yeah.
So we get contacted by not even just magicians, but just stage shows, theatre shows.
Tribute acts, vocalists.
Yeah, so we kind of direct and creative consult a lot on those kind of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we are very good to have in a creative conversation. And so the people that are working out there on shows, contact us and we'll happily help. But I would love to do a lecture tour, but I fear that in a lecture, of course we'd perform tricks and teach tricks, that's fine. But I think if we did a lecture, it would almost be about the stuff that no one talks about. How to get in and get out of a venue successfully. How to talk to the tech team. Here's a tip, right? So there'll be one person watching this that will go, when you go on a cruise ship, don't write a lighting plot, print a lighting plot. Because very often you'll find people that can't speak English.
With pictures.
With pictures, yeah. So print out. So go into a theatre, hire a theatre for the day, pay £400, whatever it is. Get a tech guy to go in with you and get every lighting plot that you want. Photograph it and then go onto a ship or a theatre or perform around the world, whatever, and give them 30 images. I promise you it's going to make them love you immediately because they just go, oh, blues and smoke, easy. Reds and greens, easy. Mm. Whereas if they're reading a definitive like lighting plot, they have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many things from, I don't know, maybe 3,000 shows together. So how to put LX tape on a stage and not let the audience see it, but you know where your mark is.
Yeah.
All those things.
Flights and getting prepared for traveling, or if you're booking a theatre show, knowing the box office side of it.
That's what I think we could bring to a lecture. And yes, we have tricks, and I'll happily teach them all. It's not this guarding the methods. It's just our thing that we could give to the magic world, I think, is how to turn a show into a theatrical thing.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you said that you've never done Blackpool because you've always been so busy. I'm very good friends with Russ Stevens, Russ Brown, and Guy Barrett, who organised Blackpool, and I know they watch Magic TV very regularly. I'm telling them right now, if anybody's listening to me, you need to get booked for Blackpool. You need to come to Blackpool as an act and do the gala show and do a lecture. I mean, I would pay big money to see that. I think that would be fantastic.
Well, thank you. Well, we'd love to as well. We were very blessed to do the IBM. It's the only one that we ever performed at, and we felt very privileged. So we would love, we are open to everything and anything.
Yeah.
And I kind of think there's this weird thing where, because we're not that well known in magic, people don't contact us, but we'll fly anywhere and do anything. And if we can help and perform and progress anybody and even ourselves, then we'll be there in a heartbeat. So being in a conversation, as I mentioned earlier, is incredible for us. And we'd love any opportunities like that that could be given and put towards us.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I'm going to wrap this interview up with one final question to both of you, which is, for everybody that's watching this, and I know that the people watching this are literally sitting on the edge of their seats, is there one piece of advice that you can both give, maybe individually, one final piece of advice about anything? It doesn't have to be about magic. It could be performing, anything. One piece of advice for everybody that's got to the end of this interview that, kind of sums up, your thoughts or whatever. One last piece of advice.
Well, mine is really just, never give up and remember your childlike self. So remember you as a kid and what that kid really wanted.
Yes. My friend Nathan, who had lots of struggles in his life, he has a tattoo on his chest. And the tattoo says, trust the process. And the first time I read it, it resonated with me so strongly. And I've always thought, be it through visas or whatever it is, just trust the process. Because it might not happen, but sometimes if whatever that thing is doesn't happen, something else will. And we live in a world where let's just get up every day and just try and just make somebody else's life just a little bit better, a little bit happier, or even yourself, even your own. Like, what can we do each day as people to feel more inspired or energized? And I think trust the process just sums that up. Yeah. Just don't worry too much. Worrying is not going to help anybody. It's not life and death, as Tash said. Trust that something will happen. And if it doesn't, the journey's more fun normally anyway.
Yeah.
So for me, just trust the process.
Fantastic. Guys, this was a absolutely phenomenal interview. Honestly, through this interview, I've now got to the point where I stuff the rest of Magic Live. All I'm going to do is just come and watch your show every night. I don't care. I'm supposed to be on the Penguin booth. Penguin can stuff off. I just want to watch your show over
we'll
and over.
Penguin booth. We'll come and see you.
Great,
so, we've got a freezer of ice cream, so
stocking them up just for you.
And let us just say real quick as well, it's very difficult to interview people, and we get often put into this position where we go and host award nights and stuff, and then we have to interview the people, and you do it effortlessly and flawlessly. Yeah. And not only how good this channel is and how much you give to Magic, and that's huge, but just your contributions through the years. I was a fan way before we spoke today, and I'll continue to be a fan for many years after. So thank you for listening to us.
Yeah,
talk.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us the platform and your time. And we can't wait to give you ice cream from our freezer at Magic Live.
I'm there. I'm absolutely 100% there. And seriously, want. Guys, thank you for coming on the channel. I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. And I want everybody who's watching this that's going to Magic Live to make sure they come and see you and come and see your show. There will be a discount code in the description down below. We'll also put links to where people can get tickets and so on and so forth. All of that information will be down below. If you're coming to Magic Live, make sure that you go and watch The Conjurers. It's going to be epic. And
thank you. We love magic, so just come and see us at the bar, wherever we are. Come over, come and show us tricks and the new things that you've got on the dealer's desk. Just come and we love it,
and we can't wait to meet you all as well.
Yeah, please just come and say hi, and we'd love to make lots of new friends. That would mean the world to us. And thank you for watching this for so long.
That's what it's all about, right? Making friends and the community. 100%.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the channel. You're both very, very inspirational, and I've had a great time interviewing you. And everyone that's watching this, do me a favor. First of all, leave a comment down below. Let people know what you thought of this interview. I'm sure they'll read it, they'll watch it. So make sure you leave a comment down below. Then go and book your tickets to Magic Live. And if you aren't coming to Magic Live, but you're going to Vegas at some point, go and watch The Conjurers at the Orleans. Again, the link will be down below. It's going to be the Cabin of Wonder. And I love the balloon in there as well. You've mentioned the gypsy balloon a few times. I'm guessing that might
be my favorite routine in the world. It's the one routine that's traveled with me from my very first show. It would never not be in a show. It was very, very long story short, and you'll hear about it in the show. But my grandma and granddad met because of that one trick, and you will find out the story. And it's not one of those, my grandma did a magic. Like, it really is a true story, and there's pictures on the screens, and that trick affects brought so much love and happiness. It's the first piece of magic I ever saw. I sit on the lip of the stage every day with a kid, and we do it together. Mm-hmm. And if I could do one trick for the rest of my life, it'd be that one.
Wow. Well, I love the gypsy balloon. I absolutely do. So I can't wait to see your performance of it. I'm very excited about that. Yeah, look, I've said it all. Go leave a comment down below. Go and watch the show. Go and support these guys. They are absolutely phenomenal. And one more time, guys, thank you so much for coming on Magic TV.
Thank you,
Craig.
No problem. See you guys soon. On behalf of The Conjurers, my name's Craig. This is Magic TV. And we'll see you again next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.